Pretty long gospel tonight, folks. But a beautiful, beautiful reflection right smack in the middle of this great season. So I suggested this little book, Lent Reflection, for you. And so I'm going to ask you tonight to turn to somebody next to you and just take a little check-in. See how you're doing this Lent so far. Have a little chat for just a moment. Okay, folks, is anyone reading this little book during Lent? Any of you got this to read? Are you sharing it a little bit with somebody? Oh, yes. We sold 1,500 of them. Where did they go? They must have been swallowed up. So we just finished this great year with Pope Francis. And I've mentioned him once or twice in the homilies here at the 5:30 Mass. And by the way, Dan is not here. I'll wait till he gets... Oh, Dan is there. There he is. Dan did all the live stream for the Congress this year and did a pretty extraordinary job. He and Matt Stroud, wherever he is. It's a great work, Dan. You and Matt are terrific and all those people around you. I appreciate that so much. So one of the things I think that came out of this year that we might look at for just a moment is one of the images of Francis. The one that startled me was the one, it must have been, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, and it was on a Wednesday. Wednesday is the day that he has a large audience, and he has maybe 100,000 people out there. Crowds have poured into Rome to see this man. And he stopped his little Jeep and he got out because there was a man named Vinicio Riva. He has neurofibromatosis. It's a non-infectious, genetic, painful and disfiguring disease. Covers completely from head to toe your body with ulcerous swellings and bleeding and tumors. And he arrived from a little city outside of Rome to visit. And so when the people who were in charge of the audience saw him, they wheeled him up to the front and the Holy Father caught sight of him. He got out of this little Jeep immediately. And Vinicio says he didn't have any fear of my illness. He just, without saying a word, embraced me and then kissed me. And he said, I quivered. I felt an incredible warmth. So I think that's what Francis has given to a lot of us. You know, it's a crazy thing. I mean, he doesn't know me from a hole in the ground. But I feel Francis is right here, right with me, this year. I feel it. I feel his presence. I feel his love. I feel his support. I think he'd love to celebrate this 5:30 liturgy. That's what I think. Yeah. There's a beautiful story about another Francis. And it's the same thing that our Pope Francis suggests. I've never told you this story. I've heard it a long time ago, but just never caught up with me. So I want to share it with you tonight. Francis of Assisi now, you know, 14th century. Francis of Assisi. His disciples one night found him outside shivering, naked, in the heart of winter in Assisi. So the disciples said, Father Francis, why are you naked in such cold? They were astonished when they saw him. And Francis looked at him and said, my brothers, thousands and thousands of brothers and sisters are cold at this very moment. I have no blankets to give them to make them warm. So I join them in their coldness. Does that make sense? See, I think that's at the heart of this papacy, of this pope. He somehow feels with people. He touches people. He loves young people. He sings with them, holds them. He's unafraid to touch someone that most people would walk away from. So I think the secret, my brothers and sisters, of this man's leadership, something that I think is desperately needed in this world and is missing, if I could be so bold, is a leadership that is walking with people, is connected to people, that understands. But that takes a huge sacrifice. So we've got this gospel tonight of Jesus in Samaria. And I think this is exactly what Francis is doing. So it's not startling. It should be something we say yes to. It's what our Lord is doing. It's what we should be doing. He goes to Samaria. Now Samaria is in the middle section of Israel. The beautiful pastoral region of Galilee. And then that teeming city of Jerusalem and now Tel Aviv. But Tel Aviv wasn't then there. Jerusalem. And the way to get from Jerusalem to Galilee normally would take 6 days. You go along the coast or you go along the Jordan River. You could go straight through to Galilee, through the state of Israel, the country of Israel. You could go straight through and that would be a 3-day journey, but you have to go through Samaria. Now Samaria is a foreign territory to the Jew. What happened was the Assyrians captured the Jews centuries ago. And the pure Orthodox Jew did not associate or intermarry, but the Samaritans did. The people from that portion intermarried, interconnected. So they were considered unclean. Separated, enemy to the pure. And then, when they came back to Jerusalem and were building the temple, the Samaritans wanted to help the Jews, and the Jews would have no part of it, because they were not their own. And so, the Jews, the Samaritans, Jewish Samaritans, built their own temple. Well, that temple was destroyed, ultimately, by the Jews. So there was a bitter animosity between the Samaritan Jews and the Jews from Jerusalem and Galilee. So it's an unusual thing that our Lord would go through that territory because they were the enemy. But even more unusual that he would stop, and even more unusual than that he would sit there and talk to this woman. And this woman was not exactly the Madonna of Shechem. She had been in 5 marriages and she was living with a guy. So she was a woman who was not well taken in even Shechem. But what does he do? Sits with her. Talks with her. Takes some water. I've been to Shechem, by the way. It's in the West Bank, so it's a difficult area now to get to because you have to go through checkpoints and all that stuff. And I remember getting there at 6 o'clock at night in poor Sammy, our guide, knocked on the door, and this woman who runs the well. Literally, it's the well of Jacob. It's there. There's a big, huge Greek Orthodox church over it. There's an old pastor there that's built that church and has served that church for a lot of years. So this woman is kind of like his protector. You know, he's about my age. So he's got someone there to kind of watch him. And she wouldn't let us in. She said, you can't come in. 6 o'clock at night, goodbye. I said, oh God, I got 50 people. We came all the way down from Galilee. And so I tippy-toed up and I said, sister, my name is Lloyd Torgerson. We're from Santa Monica in Santa Monica, California. She said, right this way, Monsignor. So in we went and drank from the well. It's beautiful, beautiful. So that's what Jesus was doing. It's much like the issue of the West Bank and the situation in Israel today. That's what it is. Check them. And then there is this great moment in the life of this woman, the Samaritan. What does she say? She first of all says, you're a very special man. Then as she listens to him and he reveals her whole story, she calls him a master. Maybe possibly the Christ. And she runs to her neighbors, says just a moment, and brings some of the people back with her to meet this maybe Christ, the Messiah, the long awaited. But the most telling line in that gospel, my brothers and sisters, is this. She says to the people of Shechem, he told me everything. Told me everything. So here is this Christ who knows the whole story. You know that saying? We're as sick as our secrets, our darkest secrets. He knows everything. And what is our Lord's response to this woman? Care. Love. The promise of living water. Reconciliation. She's the enemy. She's a sinful woman. She's a woman who he's told the whole story to. And there's nothing but compassion and care and love. And so, my brothers and sisters, I think that's our challenge. I know we have bits and pieces of Lent that we're all working on. And that's a good thing. But who's the enemy? Who's your enemy? Who are the people in your lives that somehow, some way, you find it so distasteful that you go the other way? Or you're afraid? Or you won't speak to? How does a church... How does a church, having read that gospel, push people aside? Disinvite people to the table? How can we do that when you see that gospel? Pope Francis, that's what he's doing. He's saying to people, I understand. I know your struggle. I'm with you. I'd like to end with a little quote from Maya Angelou. I love it. Try to live by it. Tough. She says, I've learned that people will forget what I've said. People will forget what I've done. That's the good news. But people will never forget how I've made them feel. Does that make sense? Yeah. How do you make people feel? people make that their practice. That's their MO. Jeez, what did I do? Yeah. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Listen to that gospel. Match it with your life, my life. That's the great challenge, I think, of this Lent. Amen.